Welcome back to our deep dive into the source material for Law 10. We're really getting into some uncomfortable territory today.
Oh, definitely. Uncomfortable, but I mean, incredibly empowering once you actually get it.
Right. So the core mission today is unpacking this harsh reality that literally no one will ever care as much or work as hard for your goals or your family as you do.
Yeah, which is a tough pill to swallow for a lot of people.
It really is. I mean, as a psychology professor, I see people struggling with this constantly. We kind of expect the world to prioritize us. But I like the analogy from the text. Think about walking down a crowded city street.
Right. The video game analogy.
Exactly. To almost everyone you pass, you are just an NPC, like a non-player character in their game. And it's what we call focus detachment. They aren't malicious. They don't have the mental bandwidth to put your life ahead of their own survival.
And, you know, from a neuroscience perspective, that's completely logical. Your brain is essentially this prediction machine.
Okay. A prediction machine. How so?
Well, it wants your intrinsic beliefs to match your actual reality. So if your core belief is that you're the main character, that you are responsible for your success, your retirement, your health.
Which we all like to believe we are.
Right. But then your behavior doesn't match. Like you're passively waiting for an employer to promote you or, I don't know, a doctor to magically cure a lifestyle disease.
Oh, wow. So there's a disconnect.
A huge one. And your brain registers that mismatch as a threat. It creates this cognitive dissonance that actually triggers a constant low-grade cortisol release.
Wait, really? So it's physical stress?
Yeah, it's chronic physical stress from just sitting around waiting for someone else to save you.
Okay, well, it's easy to diagnose that in a lab, but I'm gonna put you on the spot here.
Oh boy, okay.
I know you've struggled with this mismatch personally. Didn't you hit a wall with this exact cognitive dissonance when you were trying to fund your first neuroscience lab?
I absolutely did. It wasn't a clean, instant realization either.
You had to use the LOD method to get out of it, right?
I did. So early in my career, I submitted this massive grant proposal to fund the lab, and then I just waited for months.
Just passively waiting for the commitment.
Exactly. And I felt this gnawing, paralyzing stress every single day. Because, you know, my brain knew the survival of my research was my responsibility.
But your behavior was entirely passive.
Completely passive, relying on some faceless committee. So I finally had to use the LOTO framework to snap out of it. And there was real friction there.
Walk us through that. How did the L work for you?
So L is, look at it as your responsibility.
Yeah.
I had to force myself to accept that waiting just wasn't an option anymore.
Right. And then O, own the result.
Yeah, own it. If the lab failed, that was on me, not the committee. Then A, act without waiting, and D, do more than required.
So what did you actually do?
Well, instead of just hoping for the grant, I scraped together my own funds. I worked these exhausting double shifts, and I built a prototype to prove the concept before the committee even met.
Which is huge, because building that prototype wasn't just about showing investors proof of concept, right?
No, not at all.
The physical action was the mechanism that broke your cognitive dissonance. It turned off that cortisol drip.
Exactly. I stopped being an NPC in my own story. Yeah. But hey, I'm not letting you off the hook here either.
Oh, fair enough. My turn.
Yeah. You teach clinical psychology to PhD students. Tell me a time when you realized you were just waiting for bureaucracy to program your next move. When did you have to grab the controller yourself?
Oh, man. It took me embarrassingly long to figure that out, honestly.
We've all been there.
Well, I was designing a new clinical curriculum for my department. I submitted the draft to the dean, and then I spent the next year just endlessly complaining about the red tape holding it up.
Just waiting for permission.
Yeah. And I was miserable. I finally realized no one cared about this program as much as I did. I have stopped whining, bypassed the slow channels, and just start running pilot seminars on my own time. Unpaid.
Wow. With volunteer students.
Yeah, with volunteer students. It was exhausting and terrifying. Because if it failed, I had no one to blame but myself.
You owned the result.
Exactly. But eventually, the demand was so high, the department literally had no choice but to adopt it.
See, and that friction you felt, that is exactly what today is about for you, the listener. It's day 5.
Right. Today, you are applying this low A formula to something real in your past, where you let an excuse dictate your actions.
Because the goal is to train your brain to recognize that dissonance now, right? So you act differently tomorrow.
Exactly. And as you dig into that work today, remember to keep up your daily practice.
Yes. Don't slack on that.
Review your personalized stack. Your 3 code rewrites, 3 distill points, and 2 quotes. Do that 3 times today.
And whatever you do, do not skip your bedtime question tonight.
Definitely not. Also, Get excited for tomorrow because day 6 is the self-audit.
Yeah, as this week draws to a close, it's the perfect time to just look back and reflect on the massive internal growth you've achieved so far.
It really is.
Yeah.
So to leave you with something to chew on as you go about your day.
Ooh, I love this part.
If a total stranger saved your child's life, you would view them with profound love and gratitude. So why is it so difficult to show that exact same level of love, respect, and relentless dedication to yourself?